Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 357, stanzas 1 through 4. When Zion in her low estate was brought from bondage by the Lord, in ecstasy we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. 1 through 4 of Psalter 357. Thank you.
scripture reading for this afternoon's worship service can be found in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians, and there of the fifth chapter, Galatians 5. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of this earth, Thou art from everlasting to everlasting, but we are men, we have a beginning, and because of our sin, we also have an end of our flesh here below in this life. That Thou may remember all those that mourn, for death has once again so silently crept into the windows and taken away the life that is here below. And then there is mourning, then there is missing. But Thou knowest also that there is often fear, for men do stand in awe at Thy judgment, at this punishment of death. But we fear the punishment, and we do not hate the cause. O, that Thou may give to us understanding hearts, that we may learn to flee from sin, to hate sin with our whole being, because it is against Thee, a good-doing God, our Maker, our Creator, and also the Redeemer of Thy Church. Then Thou knowest that we do live in this life as those who would live forever. We do not believe that we shall also die, and how quickly that it can come into our windows. That we may learn by Thy Spirit to hasten for the sake of our life. For Thou hast given Thy own life, even unto death, suffering and dying, in order that Thou may purchase a life for Thy people. Life for the body, the resurrection of their body. Life for their soul, the resurrection of their soul. And that life that will be forever and forever. Oh, that Thou may give a holy desire and jealousy in the heart of each and every one of us in this afternoon hour, that we may receive believing hearts, hearts that are filled with faith, a true saving faith, that believes that Thou dost exist, that Thou art God, our Maker and our Creator, that does believe Thy holy word. How high we were created, how deep that we have fallen, dead in sins and in trespasses, a faith that may cry out of a horrible pit, and that Thou wouldest deliver us and our dear children from that great fall, and in our covenant head Adam. Oh, that Thou may bind these matters upon young and old, for the meriting work of Thy dear Son is finished, and Thou art set on the right hand of Thy Father. Wilt Thou then send also Thy Holy Spirit from thence to come also among us in this afternoon hour, that young and old may receive from Thee that life that never dies, that faith that goes out to the true and the living God and His dear and only begotten and precious Son. that thou mayest give unto us what we have not by nature and cannot get for ourselves, that it may be more than an outward and a form of religion, but that we may be born again, and that we may enter into the kingdom of God, that thou may feed also thy own people. For thou knowest the place and thou knowest the condition of each one. Thou hast brought them into a new state, in a new birth. It is a good state with thee. It is a reconciled state. It is a state wherein that they are justified and that they are sanctified, that they are reconciled unto a triune God. But how little do they know for themselves. And then so often they do fear to be on the outside yet. When the knowledge of sin is given unto them more and more, and when it seems increasingly to go in the wrong way, O Lord, that thou mayest instruct them indeed in the depth of their fall, that they may despair of all self-wisdom and strength and help, that they may cry unto thee and thy dear Son, oh, that thou wouldest reveal thyself also unto such, that they may be given eyes of faith to behold thee for the first or by renewal, and all that thou hast given thyself to do upon that cursed tree. How willingly thou hast gone forth into bondage, that thou mayest set thy church in a true freedom, or that thou mayest give them a little taste thereof in this day what that freedom is, that they might see thee with a eye even through a glass darkly, and that thou mayest show unto them thy face through the lattice, and that thou mayest give them that hope by which they may be saved. Oh, that thou mayest give a holy jealousy to both young and old for this portion. For then we can live and then we can die. Do care for all the needs and the cares that lay upon the congregation in this life. The sick, those that are in the hospital at this time. Then quickly we can also receive sickness. We can have a fall. We can have an infection. Or that thou mayest remember them together and give healing to their bodies, wisdom to the doctors, and thy blessing upon the callings. And when they are coming to young and old together, and that thou wouldest sanctify them as thou alone art able to do. Remember those at war in these days, where there is so great destruction, and so many have become refugees, that thou mayest look upon them in the loss of all things here below, that thou mayest care for those that do maintain their own homeland, and that thou mayest put away the aggressors, as thou alone art able to do, and to give peace in that place, that they also may return once again, and that thou would also watch over the nations of this world, that it spread not even unto us and unto our children, that thou wouldest keep us from war, and that thou wouldest spare us from these great destructions which can come so quickly upon our countries, and that thou mayest give wisdom unto our leaders, that they might know what to do in all circumstances in this world. Thou hast placed them in their positions, and thou hast called them gods. O Lord, they are in thy place in this world. Give them strength then, give them wisdom, give them courage, give them the fear of thy name, give them to feel their smallness before Thee, the true and the living God, and the great ruler over this whole universe, that they may lay upon Thy footstool to ask of Thee Thy guidance, and that Thou wouldest direct all things for the good of Thy church over the length and breadth of this whole world. For Thou dost say that Thou art coming again to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, that we may receive warning from Thee out of Thy word, that we may see the truth of all that is being fulfilled, and that we might hasten to be reconciled unto our Maker and our Creator before that it is forever and eternally too late. Wilt Thou look upon us in this hour? Wilt Thou strengthen us for the labors of our hands? Give us wisdom. Help us to speak clearly, and give us courage also for the labors of our hands. Thy Spirit in a rich measure, that we may speak as Thou dost give utterance, and that Thou wouldest then also hear those that cry for a blessing for their soul in this hour. We know not who has cried and does cry to Thee in these moments, O Lord, but Thou knowest where that they are, and Thou knowest the need that lives in their heart. Oh, that Thou wouldest hear the needy when they cry, and save their souls when death draws nigh. Help us then, O Lord, take reasons out of Thyself for giving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 222, stanzas 3, 4, 6, 7, and 9. I, Thy God, removed Thy burdens, when Thou calledst, set Thee free. Prove Thee in the thirsty desert, in the thunder answered Thee. 3, 4, 6, 7, and 9. Of Psalter 222. I am he. Therefore, if ye seek me, let these go their way. What was that? It was congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ, demanding of the enemy liberty, freedom for his disciples. Liberty, freedom for his own church. That is liberty, a freedom that he himself was going forward to purchase for his church, and that they themselves might be free. But what now is this liberty? What now is this freedom? We hope to consider that this afternoon once again from John 18, in the 12th verse, where we were considering, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Christ bound last week. We considered the bondage that he suffered. And this afternoon, the Lord willing, the liberty that he purchased. And thus, for this afternoon, the liberty Christ purchased for his church. First, what it is not. And second, what it is. The liberty Christ purchased for his church. First, what it is not. And second, what it is. First, what it is not. Why do we begin here? Because liberty, congregation, is the common cry of mankind in this world. But that liberty that man cries for in this world is very different than the liberty that Christ has bought for his church. If Christ had purchased that liberty that the world is crying out after, then Paul and Silas would not have been in prison. If Christ had purchased that liberty that the world cries after, then Paul had never sent the slave Onesimus back unto his master. Israel was in bondage for 400 years in Egypt. Israel was in captivity for 70 years in the land of Babylon. Thus, if such liberties were the liberty that Christ purchased for his church, then the bondage of Christ, the suffering, the death of Christ that had been in vain, then it was not effectual. No, the Bible says actually just the opposite. The church of God will not be delivered from persecutions and from bondage in the midst of this world. The Apostle Peter says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." And we know the Apostle Paul went up to Jerusalem, and then he said that I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and I know not the things that are going to befall me there in Jerusalem, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city that bonds and afflictions do abide me. Thus, was that right then? That bonds and afflictions ought to abide the Apostle Paul, especially when he is in the city of Jerusalem? That Paul should be bound for the sake of preaching the Word of God? Well, say, no, certainly. Those things were not right of the rulers. Those things were not right of the magistrates which bound him. Certainly not. And why not? Because God has given to man liberty. God has given to man natural liberties. They are liberties that were given to man in his creation. They are not liberties that were purchased by the Lord Jesus for his people. They were liberties that were given to man as the height of the creation of God when he made him in the beginning. There are certain liberties also that were given even unto the creatures, that is, unto the beasts, the animals of the field. What were those liberties? How did the Lord make the animals free? How did the Lord create man in his freedom? What is that liberty that God has given unto his creatures? Well, that is the liberty to be whom God has made them to be. That is all. Thus, we have not the liberty to be someone that God has not made us to be. An animal has not such liberties. No, they have the liberty from the Lord to exist in the world in the nature that God has given unto them. And then each of those creatures, especially man, is given by the Lord obligations. He is given certain responsibilities. What was he made for? What were you made for, young people? What were you made for? Do you ever think about that? In the days of your youth, you think about how you're going to go forward in the world. You think about the education that you're going to get, perhaps, or the occupation that you want to have, a wife, a husband. But do you ever think of why you were put here? Do you ever consider the purpose of the creation of man? Then we want to have liberty to do this or that in this world. But we have not all such liberties. For some, we cannot do the things always that we like to do. We have not the physical strength. We have not the mental strength. And so that we have certain limitations. Oh, do you ever think about your purpose? The Lord has given responsibilities, obligations to his creatures. And when he has made us the height of his creation, and then he has said unto man that you are here for my honor, for my glory. And those obligations are the obligations which man must have the freedom to fulfill. The Lord has given to man everything that was necessary in mind and body and soul, everything that was necessary to fulfill these obligations that he has placed upon us. Does that mean that then there were no boundaries that did limit mankind? When he was created free, that doesn't mean that. Physically, we know there are boundaries to our liberties. We have spoken about that before, children. We say a dog is not a bird. He is not made to fly. He does not have the liberty to fly because he is a dog. And a bird cannot bark because the Lord has not made him to bark. He has not the liberty for that. Now, that is also so with mankind. What does the Lord say in His Word? He says that He has made them male and female. The world does not want to believe this anymore, but it is true. It cannot be denied. And then there are certain limitations because of the way that the Lord Himself has made a male and a female. Then they do not have the liberty to be a female because they are given limitations by the Lord, and vice versa. Neither have we a moral liberty to make such a choice. Satan wants men to try to cross the boundaries that the Lord Himself has set for man. That is against the Word of God. To cross the boundaries physically, in your dress, young people. That is all that same matter. How do we dress when we are in the midst of this world? The Lord says a man and a woman must be distinct also when they are seen in this world. Intimate behavior. The Lord says men with men working that which is unseemly. No, the Lord has made them physically distinct. He has given them boundaries. Morally, there are no boundaries for the animals. Can a dog, children, do something which is sinful? You say, that is impossible. Because a dog does not have a soul. He can do something, you say, wrong because you tell him it is wrong. But it is not wrong before the Lord, because a dog does not follow or have to follow the moral law. He doesn't have a boundary in that moral law. That is so different with you, isn't it? Then the Lord has made a boundary around us. When did the Lord put that boundary around us? Did He do that before the fall or after the fall? When did He give Adam His law? Say, that was before the fall. Before the fall? Well, I thought that Adam was created free. Yes, indeed he was. You mean to say that Adam was perfectly free, and yet he had boundaries, and yet he had the moral law? Indeed. Why? Because freedom, that is not inconsistent with having boundaries. Freedom is not inconsistent with being unrestrained. There are people who say that man was actually free, and that he only is restrained by his fellow man, by government, because he decided as a society that we're going to give up some of our freedoms for the sake of the common good, and we are going to allow certain men, magistrates, we're going to allow those men to tell us what to do, to give us boundaries. That is just a choice of society. Man has made government. That is not so. The Bible says that we were created under government. The Bible says that government is an institution of God Himself. No, man did not have a choice in this. Man never, even in the creation, was permitted to do just as he pleased. He was created under government. But there was a great difference than now. Why? because then that law was not a burden to man. It was just the opposite. Then the law of God was a delight to man. Man has seen a perfect freedom living in obedience to the law of God. But those moral boundaries set about him. Thus, to obey that law for man was natural. It was completely natural. And man has seen it as his own happiness. Man has seen it as his own good. And bound him. The liberty Christ purchased for his church, what it is not. Today we hear much in the world about freedom of thought. We hear freedom of conscience, about freedom of speech. Those are what we call natural liberties, and yet they are not without boundaries. Are we allowed to think, congregation, anything that we want? Is that permissible? Well, no man can judge us for it. But why can they not judge us for it? Because they do not know what our thoughts are. You have secret thoughts, young people. Secret thoughts. Your mother doesn't know what they are. Your father doesn't know what they are. Therefore, they cannot judge you for those thoughts. Only remember that evil deeds, they are often coming from evil thoughts that are continually held in the mind of a person. Oh, flee evil thoughts in order that you may flee evil words and that you may flee evil deeds. No man cannot judge us for our evil thoughts only because he does not know them. But that does not mean we are permitted to think anything that we like, because the Lord knows what our thoughts are. And every one of those thoughts of man is also going to come into judgment. Is man then free? Is he free to do anything that he pleases? Is he free to think anything that he wants to think? Is he free to have any opinion that he wants to have? That is not according to the Word of God. Conscience. Conscience, that is also a natural liberty. There is rightly only one that can judge our conscience, and that is God. That does not mean that man cannot judge our deeds, the things that we say, and the things that we do. Free speech. You hear that much in the world. Does that mean that we are allowed to say anything that we want? Free speech? No. May the government allow a man to blaspheme God? May the government allow a man to take the name of the Lord in vain with his mouth? Oh, also free speech has its bounds. Thus, such liberties are not purchased by Christ for his church. These are natural liberties. Even free men. Free people, we say, in the world. They live in a free country, yet they are bound. They are bound by what? They are bound by obligations. We spoke about that last week. Husbands, wives, they have obligations. They bind themselves. But there are also natural obligations that you have, young people. Children, to your father, to your mother, to your brother, to your sister. You have obligations to them. Because the Lord has created you a brother. The Lord has created you a sister. And therefore, when your brother and your sister, they come into need, then you must be first there to help. Thus, no, you are not free, even in a free society, to do or to refrain from just anything that you please. Maybe you have a desire, young people. Sometimes you look to the time that you can leave your parental home. You say, then I will not be bound anymore. I want freedom. I want to be able to do what I want. But when you leave that place, then you realize, do you not, that you will have new obligations? Obligations that you did not have when you were at home? That you will not be so perfectly free as perhaps you think that you may? Did Christ purchase a free and democratic society for his people? That we should live in a democracy where there is capitalism? Is that what Christ has purchased for his people? We do not read that in the Word of God. The consequences of the fall are very great for man. Also concerning the society that we are living in. Freedom of religion. You say, that is now freedom. What a great blessing. When there may be freedom of religion in a country, our country. Say, if you go to China, if you go to other places in this world, and then men are restricted in what they may worship. Freedom of religion in a country is a great blessing. That is something to be coveted. That is something to be stood for when we do that in a right way. But do you know what it is not? It is not that freedom that Christ has purchased for his church. Do you know what Christ says? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Did he purchase for them freedom of religion in their country? Congregation, how many in this world have a very different lot? If that was purchased for them, then Christ was bound in vain. But it was not purchased for them. I heard a minister in Chicago last week. He said, that is all that matters, freedom of religion. I thought, no, that is not what we read in the Word of God. Thus many liberties. Where does that bring us back? You know where that brings us back to? It brings us back to the prison. Brings us back to where Paul and Silas are bound in the prison. Is that now freedom? Is that freedom? They are locked up. Their feet are fast in the stocks. They have been thrust into the inner prison. Is that now freedom? According to nature, the freedoms that we ought to have, then they are not free, not at all. But if you will ask those two men, they will tell you very, very different. That is what we see in our second thought, what that liberty is, which Christ purchased for his church. What now is that liberty? What are Paul and Silas doing? They're singing. They're singing praises unto God. May we do that too sometimes. They may do it outwardly. Do you like to sing, children? I love to sing. And I love to hear singing. Nice, solemn singing of God's word, music that is all a blessed gift of God. But it is not all to the honor of the Lord. What do we read of Paul and Silas? We read the prisoners heard them. Would you have liked to have heard them sing? Why? They did not have a beautiful pipe organ. How do you think that sounded when they sang? We read of Paul that his enemies have said about his speech that it was contemptible. How was his singing? We do not know how that has sounded. And yet we read that the prisoners heard them. What do you think? Do you think those other prisoners were jealous of them? Or why should they be jealous? They were only in the next cell or in the next cell. They were all together the same, were they not? Or they would say no, because we hear something. Those men indeed are bound, but we hear a freedom. We hear these men are singing. You say, that is now something I cannot do. I am not free. Oh, here we have now the liberty. The liberty that Christ has purchased for his church. When we read, and they bound him. This is not the natural liberties that the Lord has given in the creation, that man has lost so much of through sin, through his fall. Not natural liberties, but it is a spiritual liberty. A liberty that is so necessary for each and every one to receive. That is a liberty that the world cannot take away from us, or they can bind us with ropes, with chains. But here is a liberty which is freeing the soul of a person. What is this liberty that Christ has purchased for his church? When they bound him, that is a liberty from the bondage of sin. From the bondage of sin. It is understandable that the world, that many in the visible church do not seek for this liberty, do not desire this liberty. Why? Because we do not feel, we do not experience what bondage is. The natural man is fighting for every natural liberty that he can obtain in this world. And when he receives it, he does not realize that he is yet a slave of sin. What has he gained? Jews said to the Lord Jesus, "We are Abraham's seed. And we were never in bondage to any man." The Lord Jesus said to them, "Whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin." Oh, then there is no grieving about it. Then a man actually considers himself to be perfectly free to do what? free to live out the desires, the sinful desires that live in my heart. Free to do that. That is now liberty to him. But it is now exactly the opposite for that true church. That begins when? Children, you ask the Lord for a new heart, right? That is when it begins. In the day that the Lord gives to you a new heart. And then it turns completely the other way around. Then sin begins to be a burden. But let us sing first from Psalter 65. All the stanzas, grace and truth shall mark the way. Where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. 1-4 of Psalter 65.
Thank you.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So Paul, we read together, wrote unto the Galatians. What did he speak about? In Galatia, as it was with many of the other churches in Asia Minor, and there were Judaizers. And those Judaizers desired to bring that church back unto the Old Testament. And when the church was under a yoke, the Bible calls it. It was the yoke of ceremonial observances. Paul calls it a yoke that neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. That service that they had to give in all the outward things, circumcision being one of them. Taste not, touch not, handle not, Paul says, which are all to perish with the using. Paul says that is not necessary anymore. Why? Because Christ has fulfilled in his coming, he has fulfilled that ceremonial law. All those things, they were pointing, they were looking unto him. They were like a schoolmaster. He says, leading them unto Christ. But he said, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And thus the Apostle Paul says that he testified to them that if that they were circumcised, he says that Christ shall profit you nothing. If you are circumcised, he says that you are then a debtor to do the whole law. That is not just because a person happened to be circumcised, but he says those that were insisting in that person's be circumcised, then he says you are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Where is the church? The church is here below. The church is not in heaven. But that church is so carnal. And the church is so quickly again entangled, the Apostle Paul says, with these carnal yokes to make conscience of carnal observances. But he says, are ye yet so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye made perfect now by the flesh? That is why, he says, Titus was not compelled to be circumcised. He said, because there were false brethren. They have come in unawares to do what? To spy out our liberty that we have in Christ, that they may bring us again into bondage with these things. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, he says, but the keeping of the commandments of God. That is what we have to do. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Oh, that freedom. The freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ, by his bondage, has given unto his church is a great freedom. And that is experienced by faith by that church of God, when that faith may be an exercise. What is that? Do you know what the Apostle Paul says? No more conscience of sins. That is the liberty. Can you imagine that, young people? That your conscience, does your conscience speak? all my conscience speaks. Say, do this wrong, do that wrong, you're guilty. Your conscience speak. Sometimes would you like to rid yourself of that burden? Can you imagine what that would be? If your conscience did not testify against you in anything? Or do you slight the law? Or do you step on your conscience? So that maybe your conscience does not speak so loudly anymore? Oh, God's children, they are by times people who are bound. They are bound by a guilty conscience. Try to free themselves from that. What do? They say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better so that my conscience does not bother me for future things. I'm also going to do so well that I am going to try to make amends for the things that are behind. How successful do you think they are in that? They are not successful. Know that conscience. We read in God's word of Job. Job, he says, thou writest bitter things against me and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. It all comes back. The things that you have done when you were a little child against your mother and your father, they will come back. You make sure you say you're sorry, children, now to your mother and your father, because you can lose your mother and your father. And then you can never say you're sorry again when they are gone. So much of that sorrow stays with the person their whole life long, because the others are gone and it is not possible anymore. Oh, the conscience. Are there those in our midst that go over the world with a guilty conscience and cannot free yourself from these bonds? No more conscience of sins, the apostle says. And that people say, that is something. Oh, if I could only have that. If my sin could be forgiven me. Do you desire that? There is now that liberty. That liberty that has been purchased by the bondage of Christ. To take away the bonds, binding the consciences of the people of the Lord. Do you know what Paul says? There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, it is these that may taste something of that liberty that is in Christ by faith. In the revelations of the bondage of the blessed mediator, when faith may see him bound as that innocent lamb, when faith may take hold of the substitutionary work of that blessed mediator, and faith may receive that imputation of that forgiveness from the Lord, oh, then they are people who are going out from that court. Then they are a people that are set free, that come out from the judgment. and who will never be called again into that court of God, who are standing in a blessed, in a perfect liberty. Paul and Silas, they are bound. They are cast into that inner prison, and they are singing. They are singing out of this liberty. No man can take it away. Can take away their movement of their arms and their legs. They can keep them from moving about in this world. And they cannot take away the liberty of their souls. Blessed are that people. Do you think so too? Oh, is this not the freedom that we need to seek? More than all the freedoms, the natural freedoms that a person can receive in the midst of this world. But now even this people are still looking for another freedom. Freedom from a different bondage. And what is that? That is the bondage that the Apostle Paul himself complained about yet. He may sing there in that prison, but we read in the book of Romans how that he is still complaining about a bondage. What does he say? He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Oh, he desired to be delivered. From what? From the service. Not from the guilt only. We all want to be delivered from the guilt. We all desire to have a free conscience, that we would not be afraid to stand before the judgment seat. But do we desire to be delivered from the commission of sin? Do we desire to be delivered from the bondage of sin? Paul complained. He said, "The good that I would, I do not." That was his bondage. He could not deliver himself from this. Is that also your bondage? That was the complaint of the bondage of a sinful flesh. That he cannot do, he says, the things that I would. He was limited. Limited in what? Well, limited in the service of the Lord. He could not serve the Lord as he wished that he could serve the Lord. You know what David says? He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according unto thy word." Oh, he says, "I am bound. I am bound by my carnality. I am bound by my earthliness. Oh, my treasure that is not in heaven as it ought to be, because I carry about me in the first place simply a body." A body. He says, "I am carnal," but it is not only that body. It is that sinful flesh. He says, "I am carnal. I am sold under sin." That he saw is slavery. And his bondage was sin. "Keep back also thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I," he says, "be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Upright. Did you ever ask the Lord if you could be upright? Did you ever say, Lord, there is so much hypocrisy in my heart. I have so much form, and I have so little godliness. Do I have any at all? Upright. Oh, Lord, make me upright. Oh, Christ has purchased liberty for this people. For this people. He has not purchased the perfection of that liberty here below in this world. Oh, they get a small beginning of this deliverance. What kind of liberty is it? A liberty from the commission of sin. It is a liberty of holiness. It is the freedom of being a servant. See, that is contradictory. The freedom of being a servant. Yes, that is what our natural mind does not comprehend. That is hid from the wise and prudent, but it is revealed unto the babes, because there is no man that is so free as a man that is able to serve the Lord again with all his heart, with all his strength, with his whole being. The liberty of the church is the liberty of a child. You ever wish to be a child again, parents? You ever look at your children, you say, blessed children, in your youth. Why? Because they are so free. They are so free. Why are they so free? They have no obligations. Mother and father take care of everything. They don't have to worry about anything. All they have to do is, have they any boundaries? Oh, certainly. There is a law. There's a law of father and mother. All they need to do is obey. All they need to do is stay within those boundaries, and then they are safe. Because father and mother, they take care of everything. Oh, that is not a freedom of that people of the Lord. When they may see it, and when they may live it by a true faith, it is the freedom of a child, because the Lord takes over everything for that people. Everything. All their debts, they are paid. Everything to stand before a holy and a righteous God is given unto that people. The Bible says their bread and water shall be sure. They have no reason for the least anxiety here below. All they need to do is stay now. Have they boundaries? Oh, sure. Sure. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will take care of you. And I will bring you through this world. And I will give you, whether you are laying in the prison with your feet in the stocks, and I will give you a perfect and a blessed liberty of soul through him who was bound in order that you may be free. Oh, sometimes faith may see it. Just moments, and then they receive a privilege of fleeing by faith to that bound Christ, that they may taste of the blessed liberty that he has bought for his people. You know what they look forward to then? Oh, they look forward to the time that it shall be perfected. Oh, that sanctification, that this body of sin that may be laid down, that grieving church, you know what death is for them? Death is their deliverance. Oh, how they fear it sometimes because of that lack of assurance. Oh, but what shall it be for their people when the desire of their heart is received? Because when this flesh that is laid down in the grave, then all the bands come off. All the bands come off. And then their soul that shall fly away, and it shall leave behind all sin and all imperfection. And then there is a promise for the people that when a day of resurrection shall be there, and then the Lord shall blow that trump, and he shall raise them again. And then this body that shall be raised in incorruption, and then they shall receive that blessed desire of their heart. Oh, that they might live in righteousness before him all the days of their life, world without end. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do teach us and make us wholly jealous of that portion of thy church, then whatever persecutions, whatever afflictions, whatever trials, whatever bonds they have to endure in their life, that their soul may be free. Oh, then they shall be received freely by thee. Oh, grant thy people a little eye to see thee, so bound by those Romans, and so binding himself for the sake of his church. Give them to taste a little of the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing? Help us in this week. Be with all those that must stand at an open grave. And give strength, give comfort, give help. Help each one of us in our place in this world. Give us a place at thy footstool, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 32, 2, 3, and 4. With steadfast courage I design no wrong to speak or do. Thy path of life I choose for mine, and walk with purpose true. And what follows in 3, in what follows in 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 32. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.